Welcome to Small Business Spoonfuls Podcast, a laid-back discussion of the serious HR topics and trends of today. Sponsored by HelpDeskForHR.com.
Hello and welcome back, everybody. We are live today with on Small Business Spoonfuls here today. I am your host, Mason Merrill, and joining me, as always, is Lisa Smith, our expert on all matters HR. How are you doing today, Lisa?
I'm doing good, Mason. Thanks for that brilliant introduction. And hi to all of you out there in streaming world.
Yeah, so we are actually live in our Facebook groups, but we're also live on YouTube today. So if you're just catching this video, it's nice to have you catching the replay. We'd love to have you with us live. And those watching today, make sure and use... If you have any questions, use that chat function either on Facebook or on YouTube to interact with the show. So today we are talking about the EEOC has issued updated COVID-19 guidance on vaccinations and a nice tidy little press release here. So kind of some technical assistance, and we just wanted to jump in here and kind of break this down a little bit for you today. So I'll tee that up for you, Lisa.
Okay, thanks. And so this is what the feds love to do. They love to sneak something in on us, like over the Memorial Day holiday, or they do it on Labor Day. They do it, you know, at the end of the year. They always do this over a holiday. So we come back to work the next day after the holiday's over, and we're like, surprise, you have guidance, you know. And so some of you probably saw it when it was issued on Friday afternoon, and we posted it on our blog on Friday afternoon. The minute it hit our inbox. So our members had everything they needed. But today we want to just make sure everyone else out there got the information, understands what it means. And so we want to answer just a few of the burning questions. We don't have time on a podcast episode like this to go through the whole guidance, but we are going to be posting the link for you after the show. So watch the comments on Facebook, and the link is also on YouTube for you. And, you know, you can go to the EEOC's website and read through Section K. So that's K as in kitten. I had to think of a K word that wasn't a C word, you know. So I had to think, go there and just read the updates. And if you don't see updates, if you just still see the old date, it means you need to clear your browsing data, because I had to do that. And then all of the 5/28/21 updates came up under Section K. Okay, so that's how you find it.
Yeah. Now, and also, just for our ones watching on YouTube, in the description, we have the link directly to this article as well. And after the show, we'll post it in our Facebook groups as well.
Yeah, thanks for that. Okay, cool. Now, so one of the big burning questions that we've had kind of pending here is, what do we do if we have a part of the population that are vaccinated at work and a part of our work population that are unvaccinated, and our employer is on the fence of whether they should or should not mandate vaccines in the workplace? And so I think, just, you know, because we deal with thousands of employers across the nation, we can say, just from our sample size here, that the consensus has been we don't want to mandate necessarily, except for maybe a few professions like healthcare, for instance, you know, but we generally don't want to mandate, but we would like to know who is vaxxed and who isn't. And then that way, if we're planning team, you know, projects and gatherings and things like that, we can be aware of who not to put together if someone has asked us for an accommodation because they have something medically going. You know, like, there are so many deep wells we could dig as to why an employer might need to know the vax status. And so the EEOC basically here has said, yeah, you can ask the status of the vaccine, of the vaxxed person, or, you know, you can find out. Now, they have also said that this is a confidential matter. And I want to make it real clear, we've said this in previous podcasts and episodes that we've done, but this isn't a HIPAA thing. Okay. No. Because most of us are not healthcare. We're HR workers, and we're dealing with employees. HIPAA covers healthcare and your patients and your business partners. Right. But we're not, but what we are and what it did make clear in this guidance is that under GINA, which is the Genetic Information Act, and then we also have the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, those are both very widely protected and confidential when it comes to the vaccine status of the worker. So then the next question is, well, then if we're going to find the vax status, and maybe we're going to make you wear a mask if you're not vaxxed, or maybe we're going to put you on a different team, or, you know, do something like that, right? Then isn't that ultimately going to reveal the status of the worker? And the answer to that may be yes, but as long as that word or that document was not released from the HR office, from the employer's grasp, so to speak, then technically we haven't released the information.
Right. Yeah.
We don't confirm or deny. So if somebody says, hey, I know I'm assigned to a team with Lisa and she doesn't talk much about the vaccine. I'm not sure where she stands on it. Can you tell me? Because I don't want to be with her if she's not vaxxed. Then you can't confirm or deny my status. You know, that's where confidentiality comes in. Now, there have been some folks who have said, okay, well, maybe we could have stickers, like we put a green sticker on your name badge at work if you're vaxxed, and we put a red one if you're not, or, you know, we make you wear a green bracelet or a red bracelet, or, you know, they do something like this to identify who has the vaccine and who doesn't. Other companies have said, well, maybe we're just going to make you mask up if you have the vaccine and not make you mask if you don't have the vaccine. And then they ask,
the other way around, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I said it the other. Yeah. Make you mask if you don't have it. Sorry. Yeah, and then right. Let you go free if you do. Okay. Yeah. And so other people have said, well, isn't that the same as releasing confidentiality? You know, if you're popping the sticker on there or doing something like that. And the answer to that could be yes. That could be violating confidentiality. So if you put in place some sort of a system where people have to wear masks or they don't or something like that, don't make it on the basis of being vaccinated. Make it on the basis of being approved to go without a mask and to go without social distancing or something like that. Because here's the thing, I might not wear a mask and I might not be vaccinated. But the reason you're not making me wear a mask may have something to do with a religious issue that I've brought to you or an ADA issue that I've brought to you. And you have made an exception based on one of those protected categories. And you've said, okay, Lisa, then you don't have to mask up based on this. But we don't have to tell that to the whole world. What we have to say is I was approved right. to go without a mask, no matter what the reason, whether it's I'm vaxxed or I have an ADA or I have a religious thing or something like that. I've been approved to go without a mask. So right. if we're going to put some sort of designation, we need to do that. But I also want employers to think very carefully before they start designating people. You know, like this can get out of control really fast and we can create an us versus them mentality if we're like marking people.
Right.
And one attorney I was listening to a couple of weeks back, and he was talking about the potentials for these kind of things happening in the workplace. And like some of his folks on his podcast were sort of comparing this to, and I hate to say this, but comparing it to Nazi Germany, you know, where the Nazis made people wear a star, or maybe you wore a upside down purple triangle if you were one of Jehovah's Witnesses, or, you know, you had a pink triangle if you had another class that they were putting you in. And so, you know, these were things that happened. They had symbols and they marked people and they separated them based on that. Now, I'm not saying that our employers are trying to turn their workplaces into Nazi Germany. So be very clear on that. But they, in that podcast, made that comparison. And I thought that's a very powerful thing, you know, to think about when we are marking people. In effect, saying you're green and you're red, you know, you're good to go and you're not because you're a bad non-vaxxer. You know what I mean? We could really start painting a very ugly picture and cause real divisions. that's in our workplace.
Yeah, that's a big thing, like you're saying. You know, if you decide to do something like this, there needs to be some meetings with making sure everybody's on the same page and understands that we're not here to divide the workplace. We're just trying to keep everybody safe according to everybody's feelings about what's going on. So it's definitely really something to heavily consider in here, because you could really have turn it into a hostile work environment, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing we want to do is have, you know, end up in court as employers, you know, like, why did you create this monster in your workplace? Well, I was just trying to do the best thing. And really and truly, employers usually have the best of intentions. But we want to go back to something the EEOC says, which is that you need to have a business-related reason for everything you do. So again, think about, you know, like if you're a big boss and you are anti-vax, don't start like separating people out because you think this way and they thought that way. Or if you're pro-vax, don't, you know, do that as well and start causing those divisions. You need to have a business related reason,
right?
Not just a personal opinion, but a business related reason. And, you know, what are some things to look at? So look at the numbers in your area. Look at the COVID numbers in your area. Are you spiking or are they relatively low? You know, maybe you're going to adjust your requirements based on if there is a spike in your area, or based on if, like, you know, for instance, in our area, if we have overall hospitalization numbers for COVID below a certain number, like legally nobody has to wear a mask in our area. And actually you don't have to anymore anyway, but back when we had a mask mandate, it was because of the hospitalization numbers. So maybe you can kind of take a cue from what the authorities have done in your area and look at the numbers and think about that if you're kind of on the fence of whether we should all mask up at work or not, or, you know, what we should do. But just be super careful that you think it through. You know, get the advice of a consultant, get the advice of an attorney, of a medical doctor, you know, get the advice of people who can really be in a position to inform you about these decisions. And don't like just watch the news or listen to somebody yammering on a podcast about how they feel about the vax. It doesn't matter how you feel.
Yeah.
The courts don't go on feelings. They go on facts and documentation. They go on what you can prove and what your reasons for doing a certain thing were, right?
Right. Yeah. So we don't want to turn this into a discrimination type thing, but
no.
In the article here, it talks about the key updates to the technical assistance that are summarized. And I thought point two was kind of interesting. It says federal EEO laws do not prevent or limit employers from offering incentives to employees to voluntarily provide documentation or other. So can we incentivize our employees, just to make this clear, to get the vaccine?
Yeah. And thanks for bringing that up, because that's been a hot topic too. Can we incentivize them? So the bottom line is EEOC says, yes, we can. But they also go on to say, as long as the incentive does not become coercive. So what does that mean? It almost sounds like when you give somebody something, it's not coercion, it's a reward, you know, instead of a threat. But let's say that I'm an employer and I'm going to give you a day of PTO if you go get the vaccine. That's a little reward for, you know, doing it. Okay, fine. That's an incentive. Great. Good idea. You know, now let's say, and I actually had this in an email a couple of weeks ago, one of our members said, we are an employer and we want to give people $500. To go and get the vaccine. Now that could become coercive. How is that coercive? Well, it becomes such a large amount of money that, like, for a lot of people, that's a full week of work.
Yeah.
And so, or more. And so you might think, wow, how can I not go do this? How can I not take advantage of $500? And it might become such a dilemma for them that they were actually coerced into doing it, because you set them up for this huge decision.
Right.
So we really want to think about it. Like the EEOC really wants us to keep it low key, like give them a day of PTO, give them a half a day off, give them, you know, like give them $50, you know, give them some kind of a fancy schmancy mug, or, you know, like, I know it, that all sounds real chintzy, but make sure that you offer them something that they could pretty easily say no to.
Right. Yeah. And make sure it's, yeah. So you just got to walk that fine line of being right down the middle with this type of thing. So like you said, we're not, coercing is the biggest word there. You don't want to be coercing people into pushing them into doing it for something. And, you know, I know a lot of us want to be safe. We all want to be safe and make our workplaces safe. So it's understandable that we would want to try to push people to do what we think is right in that situation. So just like you said, though, just make sure that we're all being above board and that it's not too big of a kind of thing that we're giving our employees. So what was the next point that you wanted to talk about here?
Basically, I just wanted to bring out something, and then I'm about done. I'm just going to let you guys read through it yourself and kind of finish up there. And of course, feel free to write support if you have questions, if you're one of our members. But the thing I wanted to finalize here is they do mention like employers being able to ask, is your family member vaccinated? And you can actually ask that.
Okay.
So are you vaccinated and is your household vaccinated? You can say yes. Now you can't dwell into, no, how come? Do they have medical problems? Is it really, you know, you can't like dwell into that. You can't go, but you can just say, so your whole household, yes, check. Okay, move on. Okay. Now the next question was, can we incentivize our employees to get their whole household vaccinated? The answer to that question is no.
Right.
You can only incentivize your employee. And again, remember, it can't be coercive. And also remember that there may be groups of people in your immediate talent pool in your area who may be singled out as people who cannot get the vaccine. Or, you know, like, let's just say you had a big religious order and that was a big part of your talent pool in your area. And that religious order did not believe in vaccination, healthcare, like whatever it might be, right? They had that longstanding belief. Now, if you start saying, we are not going to allow you as part of our company, you have to leave, you have to get fired, then you could be actually creating a disparate impact on a protected class of individuals. And this guidance says that if you create disparate impact, not meaning to, but if you do, on a class of protected workers, then you could find yourself in court. So remember, when you're deciding to mandate or whatever your decisions are, if either way that decision creates a disparate impact on a protected group of people. And I'm not just talking about religious, but that's just one that's easy to explain on this podcast. So think about that, and then you can expand that into other areas. But just think about it, because then you could be in trouble with the EEOC.
Right. Yeah. And then this last kind of point in the key updates to the assistance, I thought was good. It's employers may provide employees and their family members with information on educating them about vaccines as well. So that's not breaking any rules. You can definitely educate your employees on just the facts. Once again, we're not trying to coerce people, just state the facts that are out there from the CDC and the EEOC and what people have put out about the safety measures in these things. So
absolutely, you can do that. But when you do that, use official documents.
Yeah.
Don't just like write up a PowerPoint based on your opinion, because I will tell you, even when you use official documents, you're going to get pushback from folks who are going to argue that that's not true. And I'm not here to say it's true or not. We take no position on this podcast. We are just hoping to inform you to the pros and cons, the right, the left, both sides of the issue.
Yeah, exactly.
So that when you decide to take a stand, you know what you're facing.
Yep. We're just the messenger here. So, check out that link, read through it, all the details of it. It was very good information there set out for employers to look over. And we just hope everybody's staying well. doing well through this time, and we appreciate you joining us today. And like I said, we've been doing these in our Facebook groups, but also we're starting to do it on YouTube too. So if you like that platform better, you can find us on YouTube. Just search Small Business Spoonfuls and it'll come up. And also, if you're just a member, we actually got a question here before we wrap up. I'll put it on this screen. Okay. It says, I've got both my shots. Can you retroactively give me that $500?
So I can't, yeah. But you know, if your employer, like starting tomorrow, said we're going to give everybody $500, then yeah, you should go to them and say, hey, I got the shots before you started the incentive, but I would be hard pressed to tell you no, that you can qualify because you didn't do the shot when we offered the money. You know, I would give you the money. Yes. And so I think you're probably kidding around there. Yeah. But if you're not kidding around, then just know that you may actually have a reason to go to your employer and say, hey, I'm already fully vaxxed. Now you're offering $50 to everyone who gets vaxxed. Do I get $50? And the answer to that should be probably yes.
Yeah, that's so, actually a good question. Yeah, that is a good question. But that was actually Aaron. He's the other host of this podcast that was playing around with us. So,
okay, so Aaron, no.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, but we'll wrap that up here. If you're not a member of Help Desk for HR, check out our services. We also have a 2 to 3 times a month webinar service we provide called Boss Calls. So you can check out those links in the descriptions below. And we just hope everybody's staying safe. I'm going to add this new phrase to our closeout. It's be reasonable, be safe, be healthy, be audit secure, and do HR like a boss. And we will see you on Friday. Bye.
Bye.
If you would like to learn more about our team and the services we provide, head over to helpdeskforhr.com. Our 8,000 plus members enjoy the essential training, tools, and support they need to keep up with ongoing legal changes, as well as maintaining solid HR and employment law compliance. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you like what you hear, we'd love to hear from you, either by leaving us a review or you can email us at support@helpdeskforhr.com.